there's a twist in the tale.
Man's first instinct when he's ill is to search for a cure to bring the ailment to the surface. Sometimes, though, it's better to leave it hidden away, because you could find yourself trying to cope with a ravaged moon crater when all you thought it looked like was a velvet carpet.
Conceived by Philip Levine, A Velvet Carpet is another in our series of short stories from the world suspense writers. But listen carefully. There's a twist in the tale.
If you want a magazine that's full of fun and has something for every member of the family, this week and every week, you should get...
Koop eksklusiewe Avroy Slane skoonheidsprodukte direk aan die publiek en jy het tyd vir jou gesin, tyd vir jouself, want jy is
so eerlik vry, tyd vir sappies ek en jy, tyd om nog myself te bly.
En nou is die tyd om lieflik geld te maak deur 'n Avroy Slane skoonheidsadviseur te word. Ons nommer is in jou telefoon gids.
Luister wat sê Jan Spies oor Cremora.
My dae sal baie lank wees sonder koffie met 'n Cremoraatjie in. My pa het vans liewe sommer die koppie so onder die roemer tyd gehou en gesê, "Ma, nou steel ek eers 'n bietjie kapitaal." Vandag proe ek my koffie kapitaal in Cremora en ek dink my pa sou saamgestem het dat koffie so moet smaak soos hierdie met die Cremora in. Ryk en lekker.
Cremora. Koffie Kapitaal 1000.
Perhaps it's an indictment of the world of business that some people, I'm not saying all, but certainly some, who've spent their lives scurrying after stocks and shares, feeding small companies into the gullets of larger ones, and generally nurturing the growth of the shekel bush, seem to home into their retirement with as much relaxation as the bite of a bulldog. I said not all, but some, like Basil Ramsey. Basil Ramsey had recently retired from a very prosperous stockbroking company, a company which had become prosperous through Basil's laser-like dedication. He was a large, red-faced man of 66. His cheeks had the blossom of little blue veins from countless board dinners, promotion lunches, and other such occasions in the interests of dedication. He was a pleasant enough man, and even those lesser beings who had been swallowed up were never the target of his hatred, once the swallowing had been done. He was now standing frozen at the foot of his garden, watching a cat which was cautiously examining the blades of grass on his lawn, those blades which had been trimmed and moulded and coiffured into a green velvet carpet. Basil slid forward towards the sniffing animal, and the flowers on his cheeks had darkened into a throbbing purple.
Aha! Caught you! Caught you in the act! Go on! Out of it! Get out of it! Shoo!
He glared after the scramble of injured fur until it tumbled, made clumsy by terror, over the fence, back into the street. Then he quickly searched the green sheet for a blemish, his face registering actual pain.
Did you call, Basil?
The voice that called was gentle and patient, a voice that knows that only tolerance neutralizes rage. Soon Madge Ramsey followed her sound out into the sunlight. She moved as if her body wasn't there, with the controlled ease of almost total unconcern.
What is it, dear?
That darn cat from up the road sitting on the lawn. Honestly, if I catch it over here again, I'll kill the thing.
Here, I brought you your lemonade.
Darn animal.
Well, come on, take the glass.
Thanks.
Drink up and wipe your forehead. Oh, my, you're perspiring. Oh, I do wish you wouldn't excite yourself like that. Alan said you mustn't.
Ruddy medicos, what do they know anyway?
Alan's a personal friend.
Well, how do you think it looks?
Hmm?
The lawn.
Oh, as it always looks, my dear. Like a carpet.
You'd think I'll take the trophy again this year, wouldn't you?
I don't doubt it.
That'll be the second year running. Best lawn in the county. Before I retired, I used to dream about it. Every morning on the 8:20, I'd watch the downs road by, and I'd see the lawn just as it is now, so green and smooth, without a patch or a weed. But it's hard work, takes time, you know.
I'm well aware of that.
Well, you don't want me to lose the trophy, do you?
No, of course not. But I wish you wouldn't spend quite so much time out here.
But, my dear, it's the old saying. Can't get something for nothing. Fine lawn needs plenty of care and attention. Regular mowing, for one.
But surely once or twice a week would be enough.
Ah, not with this specialized grass. You may not realize it, my dear, but mowing determines the botanical constitution of the turf.
Really?
Mad Ramsay had heard it all before. Not only the content, but the tone. The tone that caused her husband's lungs to grapple for air and his face to deepen in color to that of an overripe plum.
Gets rid of the tufted grasses, not forgetting the bents, fescues, and crested dogtail. Oh, you let it grow, and before you know where you are, you're invaded with dandelion, yarrow clover, and probably mouse-eared chickweed. Utter disaster. No, my dear, it's like keeping a pet, only more so. Every day brings its own little job. Raking, watering, spiking, trimming. Half an hour with the roller, then a spot of aerating with the fork. Regular dose of fertilizer and a sprinkling of lawn sand, not forgetting the occasional top dressing and a selective weed killer.
No wonder you're out here most of the day.
Well, I've got to keep an eye out for fungi. Can ruin a lawn overnight. Toadstools, moss, algae, lichen. Dreadful. As for pests, ants, leather jackets, or worms. Well, if they take hold, you can forget about any trophy. On the surface, it looked like a scenic railway.
All the same, it'd be nice to sit on it occasionally.
Oh, for heaven's sake, if there's one thing that'll ruin a lawn, it's marks from a deck chair or people running about on
I've
it.
I've no intention of running.
Now, there's plenty of room on the terrace without trampling over my lawn. When your sister walked over it last summer, it took a month to even it out again. I'm sorry, Madge, but I won't...
He broke off, and his face crumpled into an expression of surprised hurt, as if he'd been stabbed in the back by the most puny of enemies.
Basil, what is it?
Heavens!
What is it, Basil?
Look, over there on the path. A blasted worm! Quick, where's my spade? I'll teach the thing. Oh, no, you don't. Not on my lawn. That'll teach you.
Oh, Basil, did you have to do that?
Did you see the size of it? If that had got underneath the turf, it could have done untold damage. There's nothing more disfiguring than a worm cast.
All the same,
now, stop fussing. It was only a worm. Oh, honestly, you'd think I'd committed a crime. Maybe you're worrying about its wife and kids.
Well, it may have a family, for all we know.
Oh, too bad. They're orphaned now.
Well, for heaven's sake, clear up the mess. It's quite horrible.
And as she walked back to the house, Mad Ramsay allowed, for the first time in many years, the disgust that she felt to touch her face. It tightened the corners of her mouth and blanketed off her eyes. Basil always slept late in the mornings. He had never seen the sun rise, and his vision of retirement did not include catching up now. On the contrary, the further away from early morning breakfast he got, the fuller was his life. His wife woke him at precisely 9:30.
Basil? Basil? Come along, time you were up. I've work to do in this room.
Oh, looks like a nice morning. Oh, pass me my dressing gown, would you, Madge?
Now come along. Out. I want to see to this bed.
All right. Yes, it looks nice and dry. Think I'll have the light roller on the lawn this morning. Later on, I'll spray with mercury fungicide. Precaution against Fusarium patch disease.
I must say it looked beautiful from the kitchen window.
Yes, that trophy's as good as in the bag. I'll bet there's not another...
You were saying?
Madge, come here. Is that a leaf?
Where, dear?
Over there, by the far end. That little black spot. Is that a leaf?
Oh, very likely. Oh, now, you're not going to get upset about a few leaves. It's bound to happen at this time of the year.
No. No, I don't think it is a leaf. I'm going down.
Basil, not in your dressing gown. Oh, Basil, for heaven's sake, do put on a coat.
But Basil's soft, pendulous body was already shuffling down the stairs, and his weight thumping on the floorboards made a mockery of the carpeting. When Madge heard the front door rattle open, she quickly moved after her husband.
Basil, it's quite chilly. You'll catch your death.
It's a cast.
What?
A worm cast.
Oh, I'm sorry, dear, but I don't even know what a worm cast is.
They're formed as they rise, and then they burrow back into the ground. Leaves a little mound, see?
Well, you can sweep it off, surely.
Makes the surface all slimy and uneven. Can't understand it. Hasn't been a worm cast on this lawn for years.
You've only yourself to blame, haven't you?
Hmm?
That worm you killed yesterday. His family have probably come up to look for him.
Oh, this isn't a laughing matter.
I was only
Every
joking.
Worm cast provides the ideal spot for invasion by weeds and coarse grasses. They could ruin years of work.
Well, isn't there something you can do?
Poison. Lead arsenate. That should do the trick. I'm going down to the chemist.
But what about your breakfast?
I'll have it when I get back.
And he strode back to the house to change, his slippers padding his cherubic heels and his dressing gown ridiculously billowing and flapping about his legs. His brain had blotted out all areas but one, and that was lit by crackling destruction. It burnt his path to the chemist. It made his voice sound like a whispered machine gun to the assistant, and it propelled him back home with the bottle of poison gripped tight in his palm.
Madge?
Yes, Basil?
Turn on the hose, would you? I want to water this stuff in.
Enough?
Fine.
Shall I leave it on?
Please. 2 ounces to the square yard they recommended. I've put on 3.
It won't harm the lawn, will it?
Oh, no. What it will do, though, is get rid of any worms down there, I promise you.
Oh, Basil, don't you know that worms have been with us for a long, long time? They were here long before your ancestral grandfather first shambled to his hind legs and sniffed at an overripe berry. Worms have a habit of coming up everywhere, and not just in the ground, either.
Basil!
Worms! Worms!
Basil! You've been having a nightmare.
There were thousands of them, Madge. Thousands of them all over the garden.
What, dear?
Worms. Large, slimy worms.
Is mastership. The creative art of the old masters finds its counterpart in the exacting skill devoted to the making of Rembrandt van Rijn, the masterpiece in cigarettes.
Toffee, soft heart of chocolate, it's the bulge in your cheek that could last a week. Yeah, chocolate clear pop, pop, pop from Cadbury.
New Cadbury's chocolate eclair pop is here. Creamy toffee outside, thick Cadbury's chocolate inside. The greatest lick you'll ever get on a stick.
Well, this is the best 5 cents sweet in history.
New Cadbury's chocolate eclair pop.
Oh, yeah.
Hello out there, how's it?
Fresh Farmer Brown chickens taste so good because they eat so good. Look at them tucking into their minis and vitamins. Hey, Morty, what you doing in the peanuts, girl? And there's plenty of sunshine and room for hen parties and exercise, and that's why Fresh Farmer Brown chickens are so tender, plump and delicious. They taste so good because they eat so good.
Thank you.
keeps a trifle concerned. When one's husband starts dreaming of worms, apart from seeing a cast on every blade of grass, oh, who would blame her for thinking that he was a little overwrought?
Now come along. It was only a dream.
What's the time?
Just gone 7:30. I'll be getting up in a moment. Would you like some tea?
I wouldn't say no to a cup. Oh, the room's stuffy. I could do with some air. No, it's all right. I'll open the window. Madge, quick, come here.
What's wrong now?
Worm casts. Look, about 50 at least.
Madge caught herself being concerned again. It was getting to be a habit these days. Even her body was beginning to lose the smooth grace of living outside her heart. She went to see Alan Bailey, their doctor and friend.
This isn't exactly a social visit.
Yes, you are looking a trifle peaky. Haven't been sleeping well either, have you?
No, but... well, to tell you the truth, I dropped in to see you about Basil.
I can guess. He's got tired of pottering about the garden and wants to get back to the stock exchange, eh? I wish he could. He certainly used to come up with the odd tip now and again. Oh, but seriously, what's the trouble? Restless, is he?
Well, not exactly. He's never been a person to sit still and do nothing. If anything, he's been overdoing it.
In what way?
The lawn.
Oh, he hasn't been carting that heavy roller about, eh?
Oh, you try and stop him. That lawn's his pride and joy. He spends most of the day out there. In fact, it's become an obsession with him.
I gathered that when I was over there last week. I happened to step on it, and I thought he was going to burst a blood vessel.
Somehow it doesn't seem natural.
Well, after 40 years behind a desk, there's bound to be some kind of reaction. Well, he has to channel his energies in another direction. I suppose the garden's as good as any. I think he'll do it, too. There isn't a strip of grass within 20 miles to touch that lawn.
He's been having some trouble lately.
Oh?
Worm casts.
Oh, nothing unusual. I'm plagued with them, too.
Yes, well, it seems to be getting him down. He's tried everything, but can't seem to get rid of them. A neighbour suggested spiking the lawn, and he worked himself to the point of exhaustion. Honestly, I thought he was going to collapse. But on top of that, he's lost his appetite. He's not sleeping well. And frankly, I'm worried about him.
And you'd like me to talk to him, eh?
Oh, would you? Though I'd rather he didn't know I'd spoken to you.
Oh, don't worry, Madge. I'll be the soul of discretion. I'll look in tomorrow.
Well, the soul of discretion he was. But one can't help wondering if perhaps he could have exercised a little more perception. It just could have staved off that day's events. But then it's very easy to talk with hindsight.
Well, I'd say that trophy was as good as yours, Basil.
Hello, Alan. Surprise.
Well, I just happened to be passing. Thought I'd look in. Well, that lawn looks splendid. Really splendid.
Well, it's obvious you're no expert. Those muddy patches, see them? Worm casts.
Oh, hardly noticeable.
Well, they will be to the judges. There's hardly a foot free of them.
Tried lead arsenic?
Everything. It's getting worse all the time. Turf was covered with them when I got up this morning. Oh, it's really getting me down.
Here, let's have your wrist.
What?
I want to feel that pulse of yours.
Oh.
Come on. That's it. Now, let's have it. It's racing a bit.
Now, I'm all right.
But I want you to stay that way, so don't overdo it. There's a good chap. Oh, really, Basil, you've nothing to worry about. This lawn's a beauty, smooth in the green baize cloth.
Funny you should say that.
Eh?
Suddenly reminded me of something. Years ago, when I was a boy, we had a billiard table, full size. Wanted to play, but I was too small to reach it. I went off to school. Then came the Depression. My father went bust. Never did get to play on it. That's a silly story. Don't know why I mentioned it, really. Blast! There's another cast. Must have come up whilst we were talking.
Now, take it easy, Basil. Look, I've just remembered something. I've a friend over at the municipal park. He's the head gardener. You might know I'm plagued with casts myself, though I must say I don't take it half as seriously as you do. Anyway, I happened to mention it to old Hopkins.
He came up with what he swore was the perfect solution.
And I've told you, I've already tried everything, and certainly every poison.
Yes, well, he reckoned that the soil was porous, that the stuff goes right through. And I imagine that that's the problem here. Now, according to Hopkins, there's only one way to stop worm casts. Remove the worm.
That's all very well.
Well, it's quite simple, really. He gave me the name of the stuff. It's a worm expellent.
Expellent?
Yes, you sprinkle it over the lawn and water it in. Worms hate the stuff. It irritates them. So they rise to the surface. All you do is collect them in a bucket. Well, it couldn't be simpler, could it?
And it really works?
Well, you try it. Now, let me see. I put the name down in my diary somewhere. Ah, yes, here. Mara meal, mixed with a spot of Derris and 1% rotenone. Let me know how you get on. Hopkins reckoned to get rid of them once and for all.
Basil's mind clouded over once again, leaving only that slash of crackling light. His farewells to Alan were almost rude for their abruptness. His entire being was keyed to rushing out and buying the mixture, and so to obtain his salvation.
Basil, where have you been? I've had lunch on the stove for over an hour.
I had to pick up something from garden supplies. There shan't be a moment. The sack's in the boot.
That's rather heavy, isn't it?
I'll manage. Now, where's my penknife? Ah, now let's get this thing open.
I'm afraid you'll have to get your own tea. I've a meeting at the guild.
Oh, I can manage to boil a kettle. Ah, that's got it.
Oh, what a horrible smell.
Yeah, hope the worms think so, too. Just sprinkle it on, water it in, and up they come and you just shovel them into a bucket.
Oh, well, better you than me. But as long as it keeps you happy. Well, I'll be off now. I've left everything ready on the tray.
Thanks, Madge. Now, let's get this sack to the top of the steps. That's it. Now, how much did he say? A couple of handfuls to the square yard.
And he methodically lumbered across the lawn, scattering the mixture as prescribed. You might have mistaken him for a biblical sower of seeds, and you would have admired the care with which each handful was cast, as though he had injected all his hope into each grain. When he had finished, he turned on the hose and watered it all in, ever careful not to injure the grass with too much pressure.
Well, come along, my little darlings. Where are you? Ah, there's one. Into the bucket you go. And there's another. And another. And another. Go on. Into this bucket. And you. And you. Good heavens. More than I expected. And some big ones, too. I've never seen so many worms. Now get off my boots. Where are they all coming from? I'll need a shovel for this lot. The size of them. Here, get off my leg. Filthy, slimy things. Heavens, I'll never manage this lot on my own. There must be thousands. I'm ankle deep. I don't like the look of this. I'll need some help. I'll call Alan. Yes, I'd better call him right away.
And he dropped the bucket with its wriggling, gleaming contents. As it fell, in that ridiculous moment when he was trying to shake off the mass from his foot, run to the telephone, and making himself believe that this was not happening, a new thought edged into his already cramped mind. A thought that had not struck him through at least 40 years of stockbroking. That the bucket with its mane of worms reminded him of Medusa. But it was only a flash, and the next moment he was galloping breathlessly towards the house and the phone.
Come on. Come on, answer, for heaven's sake. Answer.
913, hello?
Alan, this is Basil.
Yes, Basil.
Look, I bought that stuff your friend suggested. I put it on and they're coming up in their thousands.
Oh, man, you're exaggerating.
No, I tell you, there are thousands of them. They've covered the whole garden and they're pouring down the terrace.
Now, Basil, you're just overwrought.
I tell you, they're coming towards the house. Can you get over here right away?
But I'm in the middle of surgery, Basil.
They're crawling up the walls. I can hear them. I can see them now through the glass door of the kitchen. They're trying to get in.
Alan, for heaven's sake, hurry! That door's going to cave in!
Madge and Alan found Basil curled up on the floor with the telephone receiver hugged to his chest. His body had turned in on itself, and his face was tucked into his shoulder, almost like a child hiding under a blanket.
No, Madge. Well, at least there's one consolation. He didn't suffer a great deal.
His heart, was it?
Yes.
I can't believe it. He was so happy when I left him. So sure he'd get rid of the worms. He must have lifted that sack.
Yes, I think so. But he did get rid of the worms. And they all came up to the surface.
Were there many?
No, just a few tiny ones, that's all.
Ah, yes. I know the question in your mind at the moment. What about the door that caved in? Basil saw it. You heard it. So it must have happened. Well, it did. For you. For me. And for Basil.
Pall Mall, please.
Pall Mall, please.
Pall Mall cities, please.
Every day, more and more people say Pall Mall, please, because today's smoker demands a cigarette that is kind and gentle to the taste. Pall Mall Super Filter by Rothmans, the most modern development in filter smoking.
Every day, more and more people say Pall Mall, please.
Die breëband. Voor langer afstand, kies die breëband.
Dunlop SP99 se extra breedte bied jou meer loopvlak as ooit tevore. Dunlop SP99 se extra breedte versprei die vrag en verminder slytasie. En met meer rubber op die pad, gee Dunlop SP99 jou beter beheer in nat en droë omstandighede. Dring aan op Dunlop SP99.
Dunlop SP99. Voor langer afstand, die breëband.
Onthou jy hoe goed jy gevoel het in jou jonger dae? Getraf het op die sand, gelag het in die wind. Die lewe was so sorgvry. Maar die jare het verby gegaan. Jy voel dikwels sonder lewenslus. Salusa 45 kan jou help om jou lewe weer te geniet. Salusa 45, die tonicum vir die middeljare, kan daaglikse probleme makliker hanteerbaar maak. As jy ouer as 40 is, probeer 'n kursus Salusa 45. Geniet die lewe, voel jonger met Salusa 45.
That was A Velvet Carpet by Philip Levine, with additional material written by Stephen Barden. Production was by Brian Squires. Be with us again next week at this time for the next in our series of short stories from the world's greatest suspense writers. But beware, there's a twist in the tale.